Dr. Dunn practices family health, family medicine right here in Sandpoint, and he has scheduled us all in for a consultation today. I wonder if he realizes that, in effect, he has several thousand people in his waiting room right now, either at 1400 and 1450 AM or 97.1 FM or live streaming at NorthIdahoRadio.com. Anyway, everyone, I invite you to stay with us and enjoy the conversation, so relax, and we'll be right back.
Bonner's Ferry Glass has long been the place to go for a multitude of services, including rock chip repair or windshield replacement and lock and key services. Plus, you'll always find a staff of trained professionals at Bonner's Ferry Glass. If you need commercial and or residential doors, windows, garage doors, screen window and door repair, or even custom glass cutting for tabletops or picture frames, they do it all at Bonner's Ferry Glass on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
Since 1990, Brown's Northside Machine and Gear has been your local diesel and heavy equipment expert serving the logging, trucking, and construction industry. They carry the reliable Deca line of batteries, and they now stock InstaChains and the latest in LED light bars. So call Brown's today at 263-4643 or stop by the shop located on Triangle Drive behind the Bonner Mall. Their ASC, Certified Master Mechanics, can help keep your equipment on the road all winter long. Open from 7 to 5 weekdays and Saturdays until 1. Brown's Northside Machine and Gear.
Wise men say, when your grill's smashed in, there's a guy who'll make it straight for you. I took my van into Ponderay, where Bondo Bob made everything okay.
Anderson's Auto Body.
Let's get something straight.
If you came across a child struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you recognize a 13-year-old boy who gets into fights at school?
Not because he's a boy, but because he's hungry?
Or a 2-year-old girl who cries all night?
Not because she's sick, but because she went to bed without enough to eat.
Or maybe a 9-year-old boy who hopes a friend invites him to a sleepover.
Not for fun, just so we can have dinner.
Or a 15-year-old girl who goes for walks over lunch,
so her friends won't know she doesn't have anything to eat.
I am the 1 in 7 American children who struggle with hunger. Kids you pass by every day, but never knew were hungry. I am Child Hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong.
97.1 FM and 1450 AM, 1400 AM, North Idaho's radio.
Hey, everybody, we are back. Join me now and say hello and welcome to Dr. Scott Dunn. Thanks for being here, Doc.
Good afternoon. Glad to join you.
Thank you. Well, I'm just going to jump right into the deep end here a little bit, and let's go for the regular flu. How do you assess the regular flu season this year?
Yeah, I was looking at the numbers. One of the labs, the national labs, was reporting that in a normal flu season, about 16% of their samples come back positive for flu. So 16% of the swabs done that people were suspicious they might have the flu actually turned out positive. This year, 0.3% are coming back as flu. So it would appear that the flu season is exceedingly mild this year, probably largely due to all of the public health measures that we've been taking to try to avoid COVID. So it has been a double benefit at reducing flu as well.
All right, excellent. So let's get to COVID. I know that's on everybody's mind out there in the listening audience. How do you assess the COVID situation and the rates locally?
Well, as many I'm sure are following the numbers in the paper or online, our active cases continue to climb. And we are over 700 active cases in Bonner County, and it seems like it goes up a little bit more every day. So it is clearly widespread. Estimates are that, you know, the people that get tested, we are counting, but there are those that aren't being tested. And so in truth, we may have double that number in the community who are actively infected and potentially contagious.
But asymptomatic, so they don't feel like they need to go in and be tested. Do you think everybody ought to go in and be tested, symptomatic, asymptomatic, whatever?
Well, there are some experts that would advocate that, trying to just test everybody. But that's not going to practically happen. Statistically, about 25% of people will be asymptomatic for their entire course. So they're infected, but they never know it. And then another 30% or so are what we call pre-symptomatic, which means right today they feel fine, but they're going to get sick tomorrow or the next day. They just don't know it yet. So that's pre-symptomatic. So if you add that up, you know, over 50% of the cases on any given day don't know it.
When you say 700 active cases, that means diagnosed that they are positive for COVID and they're under some kind of treatment. They may not be certainly in the hospital. They may just be under quarantine watchful, but they are actively being watched by their doctor or a nurse.
And they're being followed by the public health district.
Okay.
Because they're still considered contagious. So they're in their window of quarantine where they are potentially contagious to others. Once they finish their quarantine, then they fall out of the active list.
All right. Vaccinations, as I was telling you before we went on the air, is on everybody's mind. It's almost, you know, it's like sick or not sick. What am I going to do about this vaccine? A lot of people are concerned about it only because, like myself, it's had such a short ramp up of approval. I mean, I do get vaccines, flu vaccines, shingles, whatever is available, unlike a lot of my friends. So I already know the answer to this, but how about you and your staff? What's happening with our local healthcare professionals? Are they, for the most part, all getting vaccinated?
The short answer is yes. Clearly, in the middle of a pandemic, the most effective measure to break this pandemic and to protect not only ourselves and our families, but our businesses and our community, is to get vaccinated. That is going to be the big gun, if you will, that will crush this pandemic. So we all need to be vaccinated.
And you've had your first, it's a two-part vaccination from both Pfizer and Moderna, or?
That's correct. Yeah, both of them require a two-shot series, correct.
Okay.
Now, there are some vaccines that are coming from other manufacturers that may be a one-shot dose schedule. But currently, what we have are both two-shot, correct.
Okay, and you've had your first shot.
Yes.
So you're halfway there.
Yes.
I'm feeling halfway safe.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so currently available, well, what's the rollout here locally? You were talking about that. Where are we at getting more vaccines available here locally?
So vaccinations started in late December, and the initial allotments of vaccine were fairly small. And according to the governor's guidelines, we are targeting the most vulnerable or the most critical services first. So many of the very first recipients were healthcare providers, people in the emergency room, people that were manning the EMS, first responders, and people that were taking care of COVID patients in the hospital. So those are the people we're trying to protect first.
Also in the life care centers and the Valley Vistas, and they were they on the front line?
Now, they were targeted, the elderly, especially in the group home situations. They were meant to be one of the first to receive. Unfortunately, the actual rollout has been somewhat clumsy, and I wish I could say they are all protected now, but they are not yet.
What about staff there?
So staff has been encouraged to be vaccinated, and I think the majority have been. Majority have been vaccinated, but it is not complete yet.
Okay. So, yeah, it sounds like you used the word clumsy. It just seems to me from my reading that they thought they would have more vaccine available. And I read something in Europe that they're trying to bring up another plant, and that's going to bring another plant down. I don't know. I wasn't understanding, but they're in a mild hiatus right now also.
Yeah, so with a limited supply, and I can give you rough numbers, the Panhandle Health District is expecting to receive between 2,500 and 2,800 vaccines per week, probably for the next few weeks. There was a meeting with the governor yesterday, and unfortunately he didn't see that there was going to be much additional supply in the near term. For Bonner County, because the vaccine is allotted to the five counties, the five northern counties, based on population. For Bonner County, we're expecting 500 vaccines per week. So for the foreseeable future, that's all we have. Within that, we are trying to target the groups that are the most critical or the most vulnerable. So that will gradually expand as we get the initial groups taken care of. Then we can start expanding the eligible patients that we can start giving vaccine to.
You know, you may not be able to answer this, but I have family in Texas, and basically you can sign up at a Walmart or CVS or whatever it is and basically go get vaccinated. Even just any age, any person. They've got some priorities, but people are kind of dropping off. And if they've got a vaccine available and you've signed up, you just go in and get it. Why are they just have so many more available units than we do?
Yeah, it seems like it sometimes. And the answer is that because the federal government decided not to coordinate this, they've left it to the states to coordinate. And so the distribution has been state by state, and every state is handling it different. So you're going to see 50 different models of the distribution. And each state, somewhat goes by the CDC guidelines, what's recommended in terms of the target populations, but they're not obligated to. The states can do it how they want. And so some states have decided to be more open and allow vaccination of multiple groups, or in some cases, they have no preference at all, whereas other states are being very careful about trying to have an orderly rollout to the highest risk groups first.
It sounds like that's what Idaho is trying to do, but our supply is just really limited, even for those high need, high risk, you know, healthcare, first responder, you know, people.
Right. Theoretically, Idaho is getting their fair share from the manufacturers based on population. And then within the state, the seven health districts are getting their fair share based on population. So theoretically, we're getting as much vaccine as any other district in the country. But the way it's rolled out is state by state.
There are two companies that are currently approved with their vaccinations or their vaccines. It's Pfizer and Moderna. Which ones are we receiving here in Idaho? Is there a difference between the two?
We're getting both, and people in Bonner County have received both. That is to say that people have received Pfizer. And to be clear, it's a two-shot series. If you start with a Pfizer vaccine, you have to get a second dose of the Pfizer vaccine. You're not supposed to mix them. The difference really is pretty subtle. They're the same kind of vaccine. They work the same way. the Pfizer vaccine has to be stored at the ultra-cold storage, essentially dry ice. And the Moderna vaccine can be stored in a regular freezer, fairly long-term. The Pfizer vaccine is given two doses 3 weeks apart, and the Moderna vaccine is 4 weeks apart. So there's, you know, little subtle differences, but effectively, they do the same thing.
Once they come out of either the dry ice or the freezer and they thaw, they have to be used then? Can they be refrozen? And if somebody doesn't show up, how does that work?
Right. So once the vaccine is brought to room temperature, and I'll speak to the Moderna vaccine because that's the one that's coming more now to Bonner County. Once it reaches room temperature, it has to be used within 12 hours. And then once the first dose of the vial is drawn out, the entire vial has to be used within 6 hours. So it is time limited. Yes, that's true.
Where are these vaccines being given?
So right now, the available sites are the hospital. The hospital is starting to have daily clinics on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And Panhandle Health District has had some intermittent clinics. They don't have a regular schedule yet. Kinnexu Health Services is also going to be receiving some vaccine and starting their program for their patients. And my office at Family Health Center is going to start our clinic vaccinations tomorrow.
Are all the doctors receiving X number of available vaccines for their patients like you have in your office?
Not necessarily. So you have to apply to be considered an eligible clinic, and you have to have the ability to store the vaccine safely. Uh-huh. So for offices that don't routinely do vaccines, they probably aren't going to be vaccinating with this either.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Well, I think that takes my doctor off the grid, though I'll have to double check. So no difference between Pfizer and Moderna. I've had some anecdotal information from a nurse in California where at a Desert Regional Trauma Center, the doctors there said they'd only accept Pfizer. I have no idea why. Maybe they just wanted everybody to get the same thing so there's no confusion on that second dose crossing over to another brand. I don't know what, but they said they wanted Pfizer.
I think that, again, there's some subtle differences. I saw a report in Alaska that there was one batch of Moderna vaccine that they thought there was a little more allergic response to. They're still investigating that. But the truth is that they are essentially the same type of vaccine, the same technology, the same development. The carrier and the stability of the vaccine is a little different, which is why they have to be stored differently.
Right.
But they are virtually the same. And in terms of long-term protection, which is really the key, they both seem to have 95% what's called seroconversion, which is where you develop protective antibodies. Now, but Moderna has information from their studies that would suggest that the duration of protection is at least 1 year. At least 1 year. And it may be longer. We just don't know because it hasn't been really long enough.
So this may, and what about Pfizer? I mean, they don't have statistics yet on it, or?
I saw some early information that they thought it was going to be at least 8 months. But that was, you know, a couple of months ago, and I haven't seen recent evidence yet. But
so this may become like our flu vaccine where we get, you know, it's an annual event. We get a flu vaccine, we get, you know, a COVID vaccine.
Yeah, it may. And the answer is we don't know. I heard one of the virologists that his prediction was it might be every other year that you get COVID along with your yearly flu shot. We just don't know. We haven't had this virus or the vaccines long enough to know how it's going to turn out.
Yeah.
Remember that this virus was identified in humans just 13 months ago. So we have a lot to learn. We'll be a lot smarter 5 years from now.
Exactly. Well, all right. We're up against a break. We're going to take that break right now. When we come back, I'm just going to let the doc in on this. I want to go over this rollout again so you will know if it's time for you to call your doctor or call Panhandle Health or Kiniksu or Dr. Dunn if you're his patient and see what you need to do to get yourself on that list. And see if you're eligible for an early on vaccination or if you need to wait a little bit. All right, we're going to be right back after this.
When it comes to getting a good night's sleep, all mattresses are not created equal. Hi, this is Jody for Sandpoint Furniture. I have over 25 years in the sleep business, helping people find their perfect comfort level. I would like to invite you to test rest the new Beautyrest mattress. I think you'll love it. Beautyrest is designed to give you the comfort and support you need, and their airflow feature helps you sleep cooler every night. When you sleep cooler, you sleep better. Right now, take advantage of our All-American sale. Great pricing on the entire Beautyrest line. Sandpoint Furniture stocks over 500 pieces right here in Ponderé. You could be sleeping better tonight. Sandpoint Furniture Carpet One works hard every day to be your hometown furniture and flooring store. Sandpoint Furniture, find us on Bonner Mall Way, just off Highway 95 or Highway 200 in Ponderé, or check us out at sandpointfurniture.com.
Your favorite Tuesday tradition is back at Buy Mart with Lucky Number Tuesday. With 6 items available to win or buy and many winners at every store, you won't want to miss out. Win a Roku 4K TV for your living room or buy it for $40 off with a Tuesday-only price of $259.88. Plus, thousands more win a can of Blue Diamond Almonds just by matching their ending number. So be sure to stop in this Tuesday to see if you're a winner. It's Lucky Number Tuesday, only at Bi-Mart.
Now that 2020's behind us, how about a little trip to a winner's wonderland? Put last year in the rearview mirror and win at the Kootenai Casino in Bonner's Ferry. Our progressive January jackpot has become a favorite among our gaming guests, and the hot midweek spins are creating a blizzard of cash for winners. Weekday room specials in our Kootenai Falls Lodge start at just $59, with weekend rates starting at just $99. Book now and get 2 breakfast vouchers. Springs Restaurant is featuring a variety of January $11 lunch and dinner specials. And our spa has an incredible express pedicure, scalp ritual, and anti-stress facial for just $89. It's the perfect midwinter retreat. January is your month to win at the inn. To book your winner's Wonderland getaway, call 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY or visit KootenaiRiverInn.com.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Missed a noon hour? Check out the audio at our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Welcome back in, folks. Our guest today is Dr. Scott Dunn, talking about all things medical, especially COVID. That's our topic right now, and vaccinations. So let's go back over some of this, doctor. And like, if someone's out there listening, they're saying, what should I do? I want to get a vaccination. What do I do?
Right now, the best way to get information is to go online and check the website, either at the hospital, Bonner General Health, or Panhandle Health District, or you can go to your medical office, your doctor's office website, and they often are posting information as well. For our patients, you can go to our website, fhcsandpoint.com, and we're going to post all the information, including the inclusion criteria, so that you know if you're eligible. And if you are one of the groups that are eligible, then there'll be directions on how you can sign up to get your vaccine.
All right. Excellent. So go online to Bonner General Health. Go online with Panhandle Health District, or go online with your doctor and see if they have information for you that will help guide you. I read someplace that a lot of vaccines will be coming. There'll be more and more available by April. So people are being put off a little bit to April, which is, you know, like a month away, 2 months away.
Right. We're hoping that the manufacturers will continue to increase their production, and we anticipate that we will have increasing supply as time goes by. As I mentioned, the governor announced that for at least the next few weeks, we think the supply is going to be pretty stable, but we anticipate it ramping up after that.
All right. I have one more COVID question. For people who have already had COVID, they've had symptoms, whatever level of difficulty, A, number one, can they get COVID again? And B, should they get vaccinated?
It's a great question. The short answer to the can they get the COVID again, the answer is yes, but it's pretty uncommon. In fact, it's exceedingly uncommon. I liken it somewhat to chickenpox. I think for most of us, you know, we had chickenpox once and then we never had to worry about it again. Except occasionally you hear about somebody who got chickenpox twice. Mm. So it's a similar situation with COVID, as best we can tell, that it is possible, but it seems to be exceedingly unlikely. Now, the question about vaccination, so because we don't know how long immunity will last with natural infection, we are going to be recommending that you get the vaccine anyway. However, because if you've been recently infected within the last 6 months, most of people in North Idaho, it was within the last 6 months, we assume you have some protection. We don't know how long it will last, but we assume you have some protection. So your priority now is lower. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to get everybody else vaccinated first, but eventually we're going to recommend that you be vaccinated as well.
That is really good to know. I had a lot of people contact me this week when they knew you were going to be on, and that was their big question. If my aunt, somebody has had it, do they get vaccinated, or what goes on there? All right, let's change the topic here. We're still going to stay medical. I won't surprise you with some other kind of question here, though it's tempting. What else is presenting in your office this winter? What else is happening with your patients?
One of my biggest concerns through all of this, especially the last year, has been mental health. And I think that we're seeing it increasingly this time of year, which is common during the winter in North Idaho. Of course, we often experience gloomy weather and we have darkness. And so it's typical to see the post-holiday kind of winter blues, but people who are vulnerable for depression or anxiety, it usually gets worse in the winter. This year, I think it's been compounded by the social isolation, the restrictions on meeting family, trying to avoid getting each other sick, the division about how to handle it. Some people are very concerned, other people less concerned, and within families, it's been stressful. So we're seeing people of all ages, from teenagers all the way through the senior citizens, who really are struggling with some of their mental health capacity to handle the stress.
You know, yes, I had the privilege of talking to two Panhandle Health nurses, and that was our big topic, and they had such good advice. You know, that program is, I'm pretty sure, still archived, and folks, if you want to listen to what they had to say about the mental health aspect of what's going on this winter, it's at northidahoradio.com. It was a great interview, and they had so many good ideas. I'm going to tell you what I do personally, because I live alone, And I have family that grew up in Sandpoint, but everybody's off, you know, doing their career in different places. And so I have really noticed. I'm a glass half full kind of girl. I'm not usually depressed or down. And I get to talk to people like you every week, which is a big buzz. But I have ramped up my pedicures and my massages. I need touch. I don't get touched enough. I don't get hugged enough. And so I know there's a monetary factor out there, but if you can just get a massage a month or a pedicure a month, honestly, find a place. They're all so clean. They have always been clean. They know what they're doing, and they're even more concerned about cleanliness. They all wear masks. It's awesome. So I don't know. Those of you out there like me, if you're, you know, alone in your pod, then I recommend massages and pedicures. I would probably recommend massages and pedicures anyway, but especially I recommend it now. All right, I have another general question for you, and this one I am really interested in. You know what? I'm going to change. Let me ask a different question. Sorry. You wrote a letter to the editor, and in that letter, this is several months ago, and this was the genesis of this whole interview with you, Doc, and it said that there was some evidence that ongoing flu, year after year, flu vaccinations could mitigate against dementia. Tell our audience about that.
Yeah, it's an interesting study that looked at the population of people that received at least one flu shot. That was the criteria for the study, adults that had received at least one flu shot after age 60. Compared with those who had not received a flu shot ever. And what they found was an association with reduction in the onset of dementia. Now, it was a small effect, something like 14%. And the authors of the study said they couldn't determine cause and effect. So we don't know that having a flu shot actually prevents dementia. It was an association that the people who got flu shots as a whole tended to get dementia at a lower rate.
You know, I have a theory on that. And my theory is for people who always get their flu shots, it is an indication to me that they are mindful of their health. They are probably the kind of people that are somewhat mindful of what they're eating and what they weigh, and they go in for their wellness checks. I mean, it's getting an annual flu shot. Not necessarily, I know people who don't get flu shots, but to a certain extent, people who are faithful to do that are faithful to do other healthy things. And so I think all of that mitigates against dementia, you know, because you're active and healthy, I hope.
Yeah, it's a fascinating area of investigation and research, a lot that we don't know about how the brain works and why there's a certain effect. But it is interesting, yeah. And how it will all turn out, we don't know. I will add, with regard to flu shots, that there was a study in Brazil that showed for people who got flu shots, there was a 17% reduction in complications from COVID. And that is the number of people ended up in the ICU or who ended up on a ventilator or who died was reduced by 17% if they'd had a flu shot. It didn't protect them necessarily from getting COVID, but the immune system somehow provided some cross-reactivity and some level of protection that they didn't get as sick.
I think that makes perfect sense, and I think that's good news for everybody getting their flu shot, that you've bumped up your immune system and it might help you, at least if you do get COVID, it might be less severe.
Absolutely, and just as an aside, the flu season in North Idaho runs through the end of April, so it is never too late to get a flu shot if you haven't gotten one already. All the pharmacies continue to give flu shots, and your doctor may have some flu vaccine available. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Not that anybody cares what I recommend, so I won't even say. All right. So there's another general question. This is probably going to go on over into the next segment, and that is if you could corral all of us that are listening to you today, and we're all sitting in front of you, and we're your patient, What are some of the top priorities you would tell us to do to maintain our health, to be as strong as we can be against COVID or the flu or whatever might want to come on us?
You bet. And, you know, it's really going to be old-fashioned advice. It's probably what your mom told you. Get regular sleep. There's good evidence that people that sleep regularly, and I'm talking 6 to 8 hours a night, have, you know, reduction in heart disease, have better mental health, are typically closer to their ideal body weight. So get sleep, get exercise, get outside. What I tell people is some exercise is better than none. More exercise is better than some. And if you can do something almost every day, that's the best. Whether it's a walk, a bike ride, go cross-country skiing, go for a swim in the summer, just get out and get moving. Almost every day, that's the best advice. Obviously, trying to maintain ideal body weight, or if you're overweight, to try to lose a few pounds, has huge benefits. Another side effect of COVID is the COVID-15, which is sort of tongue-in-cheek, but many people have found that they've restricted their activities and they've gained weight since the pandemic started. So we all have to work on getting rid of some of that extra weight as spring and summer comes on. Obviously, don't smoke. And the good news is that the rate of smoking in adults in the U.S. and in Idaho is declining. Unfortunately, in rural Idaho, smoking is still a problem. So we need to do a better job of educating people about the hazards of smoking, and we have traditionally done that at the elementary and junior high school level. Interestingly, about 80% of people make the decision on whether or not they're going to smoke between fifth grade and eighth grade. 80%. That's when they decide. So we have to be talking to our elementary and junior high school kids and educating them about the hazards of things, substance abuse, but smoking in particular.
That's crazy. Fifth grade, they're thinking, they're making a decision. It must be subconscious or unconscious. It's something about they identify that with growing up and being cool.
Absolutely. Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
The role modeling that we see both at home as well as in the community is powerful.
Please don't tell me that I have to eat all my fruits and vegetables.
Well, if you did eat all your fruits and vegetables, you'd be healthier, probably. Most of us, fruits and vegetables have a lot of good nutrients, micronutrients, things like fiber. But the other part of that equation is the more fruits and vegetables you eat, the less of the other bad stuff that you eat. So it's a double win.
I know it is. I have to give you a full confession now. I am vegan, so I've been vegan for a couple of years. I was a naughty vegan for quite a few years before that. But yes to fruits and vegetables. Amen to that, everybody. Just load up your plate and then whatever's left over in your tummy, if you've got room for something else, you could probably have it. Did you ever get a chance to meet or know Dr. Randy Cope?
I did, yes.
Randy was on the program like 10 years ago, and he said exactly the same thing you did. He said, I'm going to tell you what your mom and your grandma told you, and go to bed, get a good night's sleep, eat your fruits and vegetables, and go outdoors and play. And it just doesn't change. It's good advice. It's healthy advice, and I receive it.
Yep.
I love it. Thank you for that. All right. I think we need to take another break, so we're going to do that right now. We'll be right back.
Since 1990, Brown's Northside Machine and Gear has been your local diesel and heavy equipment expert serving the logging, trucking, and construction industry. They carry the reliable DECA line of batteries, and they now stock Insta-Chains and the latest in LED light bars. So call Brown's today at 263-4643 or stop by the shop located on Triangle Drive behind the Bonner Mall. Their ASC, Certified Master Mechanics, can help keep your equipment on the road all winter long. Open from 7 to 5 weekdays and Saturdays until 1. Brown's Northside Machine and Gear.
Jordan Sales and Service, home of the I Love My Tractor customer, have you covered this winter with an enclosed cab coyote tractor. Include your choice of attachments, from snow blowers to snow blades. Jordan Sales has the right coyote tractor waiting for you. Take a look at their coyote inventory at jordansales.com. Then stop by and see them for yourself in Post Falls before you're snowed in. At 3200 West Southeast Way, you can always check them out on Facebook too. Jordan Sales and Service, your rural lifestyle dealer.
Hey everybody, it's Lenny here from 7BTV, your local TV expert, and I want to tell you about Dish TV. If technology, value, and customer satisfaction are important to you, as well as the comfort of local installation, local customer support, and someone who knows your name, then let us help you switch to Dish today. Contact 7BTV, your local Dish authorized premier retailer, to cut the cord once and for all. We'll explain it all up front, find the right package for you, and install your state-of-the-art system with professional and thoughtful care. Drop by 7BTV today to discover Dish TV. Call 208-263-7288, visit us at 105 South 3rd Avenue in Sandpoint, or on the web at 7BTV.com. We are 7BTV, your locally owned, locally operated, and locally trusted satellite TV experts. Call for details, 208-263-7288.
Being a teenager is tough. There's the constant pressure to be liked.
Endless worrying about college.
Cyberbullying, high expectations, all the negativity.
There's no question. Being a teenager is tough. And what do Idaho's teens do when they want to block out the noise and clear their heads?
We play! Yeah!
Research shows that teenagers who participate in high school sports have lower stress levels, more confidence, and greater self-esteem. And then there's the biggest benefit of all.
High school sports are fun.
Not just fun.
They're a lot of fun.
Encourage your teenagers to participate in a sport or activity when they go to high school. They'll stress less and smile more. And they'll be laying the foundation for a happier, healthier future.
This message presented by the Idaho High School Activities Association and the Idaho Athletic Administrators Association.
KSPT, KBFI, North Idaho's radio.
Here we are. We're back with Dr. Scott Dunn. Lots of good information coming your way, and you can grab an archived version of this program at northidahoradio.com. I recommend you listen. There's lots of good stuff here. All right, we had a great question come in, and that is, if a person has not yet gotten their flu shot and they want to get it and they're eligible for COVID, can they do those kind of simultaneously?
It's a great question, and the answer right now is it hasn't been studied. So the recommendation is that you not have any other vaccine within 2 weeks of your COVID vaccination. So that's one of the exclusion criteria. If you just got your shingles or whatever, your flu shot, you have to wait 2 weeks before you get your COVID. We don't know that it's harmful. It just hasn't been studied.
All right. What do you personally do to boost your immunity, apart from vaccinations and some of that? But what do you take any supplements, or what do you do?
Yeah, I think what I try to do is eat a well-balanced diet. Most Americans, fortunately, have access to good food. And if we choose wisely, we can get all the nutrients we need from our food. And many people get it from their gardens, the food that they've homegrown. But that's one of the great things. So most adults who have a well-rounded diet actually probably don't need any kind of a supplement. Now, as we get older, for example, our taste buds and our smell start to kind of fade, and we may not eat as well. And so a multivitamin makes sense. Certainly very cheap, very safe. But most of us really don't need a lot of extra beyond a healthy diet.
You know, shoot me. I'm going to add something to that list as a vegan. I know that I need B12. I know that I'm not getting B12, enough B12 or any B12. So I do take, I'm faithful to take a B12 supplement. Do you agree with that, or is that on your radar scope?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you have a narrower diet, then you have to be sure you understand what you're missing. Mm-hmm. And that's a classic example. Without getting red meat, you're getting essentially zero B12. So taking a supplement, it's an easy way to take care of that.
Right. I take iron too. Yeah. All right. You know, we talked before about one of the reasons that the flu, a lot of people think there's a big, you know, data numerical conspiracy going on. Why is the flu so low this year and COVID's coming on? I don't really feel that way. I think it's an interesting statistic. And you had a thought on that, and I want to repeat that for our audience to understand.
Right. So we know that the flu circulates around predominantly for us in the winter. And that's true also in the southern hemisphere during their winter. Why does that happen? Mostly it's because we come indoors. We come in contact with each other. And so we spread it to each other. Similar, influenza, similar to other viruses. The closer we are together, and the larger groups that we have, the better that they spread. And so this past season, we have been making a conscious effort in many cases to avoid large crowds, to be more careful about hand washing, to wear masks, which the health district has instructed us to do and the vast majority are doing. That reduces transmission. So it's a win-win. We reduce COVID transmission, but we also reduce flu transmission. There have been a scattering of cases in town. It's not like the flu is totally gone, but it just doesn't get around very fast because we're protecting ourselves and protecting each other.
Do you think that we're coming into a place where in the wintertime, especially, that we will always kind of put on masks and we will always kind of do this? Or, I mean, I don't want to see that, but do you think we might get there?
I think probably not. Humans are by nature social. And so much of the discomfort with wearing a mask, in my personal opinion, is because we don't see each other's face. We don't see each other's smile. And so much of our human connection and warmth with each other comes from a smile. And so I think we're naturally going to want to share our smiles with each other as soon as we can safely do that.
Exactly. They say, well, I don't know what the percent is, but X percent of our communication is not verbal. It's like visual and body language and certainly the face. You know, doctor, I said this to you before in an email. I think that I believe that doctors and healthcare workers, professionals are the most hopeful persons, that you are essentially, you never give up. Look at you here on the radio wearing your mask, doing your thing. You never give up, whether it's a difficult situation in hospice or life care or something is going on. Basically, you just keep taking care of people. I think that's amazing. And kudos to you and all your team.
Well, yes, and it is a team effort. Certainly, we consider ourselves a team at the office and in the hospital the same way. It's a team effort. And these are people who are dedicated their lives.
Yeah, and all over this community, I just think it's wonderful. I love my doctor. I love the office and all the workers there. All right. Well, I think that's it. I think that we are wrapping it up today. Dr. Dunn, thank you so much. I know you took time from, I don't know what patient had to hopefully not wait for you.
Just lunch.
Got delayed. Okay, lunch. Well, hopefully you're going to get a good vegetable soup or something for lunch. Thanks for taking your time for being with us today. I know everyone appreciates it.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and I listen, guys out there. I hope you're marking Tuesday to be right here with me at the Speak Up table. Next week, I have another special guest. He's a guy of many talents. His name is Don Otis, and he's going to be here to talk about the importance of men, and not just generally, but men in the family, and fathers in the family, and fathers with sons, and fathers with daughters, and how men's voices need to be heard more. in our court system and with child care, and that they need to be respected. And boys need to be boys, and boys need to be raised up to be men, in my opinion, under the admonition of the Lord, but at least brought up to be men. So I hope that you'll tune in for it. I think it's a really interesting topic. So don't miss next week. Until then, this is Barbara saying take care and God bless.